Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100 Day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world. Today's quote is read by actor Ethan Peck, who portrays Spock on Star Trek Discovery and Strange New Worlds.
The marvelous thing about Star Trek is that it puts you back into growth and you learn about science.
And sitting in for Rachel today is our revolving guest host, Claire Kramer.
Hello, Trent. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Welcome back. We missed you.
Well, I missed you guys too. And for our guest today, we have the fabulous Joey Clift, who, of course, you guys know is a comedian, a TV writer, and he's currently writing on Spirit Rangers for Netflix. Welcome, Joey.
Hey, everybody. I'm very flattered to be on the show. I really hope that in the spirit of Star Trek that you brought me in with a transporter sound effect.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that quote's so cool. I think that that's spot on into, you know, all the things that are great about Star Trek. I mean, like, as we all know, oftentimes scientific discovery and scientific, scientific movement comes from, inspirations by fiction and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, even just in like our modern society, like 100% the guy that created the smartphone took the Star Trek tricorder as his like base, like, hey, this should be real. Mm-hmm. And then he made it happen, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the interesting thing. And we've talked about this before, is especially in Next Gen, there's so many things like the transporter, the pad, the devices that they use in the show that then come to fruition, you know, centuries later. So it's really interesting. Or decades, I should say, not centuries. Centuries would be really looking far ahead. Maybe we'll have transporters by then.
And like most science fiction, the viewer is given entertainment. That is, whether consciously or not, it provides some semblance of scientific learning. So even if the science is invented, it's still entertaining and you're kind of accidentally learning something, which I think is really great about sci-fi.
I feel like with Gene Roddenberry, what I appreciate about him as like a, you know, a writer and a creator of things, mm-hmm. and a storyteller, is that like he was so forward thinking in that I feel like in the back of his mind, he was just like, man, I really wish that I could just make food appear without going to the store. And then, you know, 50 years later, 60 years later, 70 years later, we have 3D printers that can print meat. You know, like, it's just 100% him being like, oh, I'm going to do humanity a solid with this one.
Yeah. 3D printers blow my mind, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I need to physically experience printing something 3D to fully wrap my head around what the final product is. My friend has one and he's obsessed with it. But anyway, back to the quote. You know what stands out for me? Okay. The marvelous thing about Star Trek is it puts you back into growth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that to me is, Gene is really speaking to the fact that humanity or society or our cultures have a tendency to become complacent and stagnant. Mm-hmm. And this show was an attempt to pull people out of that sort of complacency. And not just to push them into science, but to push them into forward thinking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you mm-hmm. think about the time, I think this quote was in the 80s, but TOS was in the late 60s. You know, look at what you had culturally going on during that time. The civil rights movement, you know, into the 70s, the women's right movement, the whole, you know, Roe versus Wade, all these different political movements and important, important things that needed to happen with our culture. And that is what this quote is sort of saying to me, is like, no, you can't just sit back and wait for others to initiate growth and initiate forward thought and initiate new science. You mm-hmm. have to be the one who's willing to jump in and create and move progressively, I guess. I don't know. What do you think, Trent?
Well, you know, we've seen over time that there have been periods of growth depending on whatever's happening in the culture at the time. Post-war, we have like industrial things happening, like the war machine ends up leading into the growth of the economy, which is terrible. And what's great about this quote, again, is that we've spoken previously about how Gene lovingly, I think, spoke about humanity as still being immature, as still being young, mm-hmm. As we are now, or as we were when he created Star Trek. But when we look to the future, humanity was able to grow, to mature enough to finally, again, we mentioned, put aside our petty squabbles here on this planet, venture into space and see the growth that's out there with new civilizations and new worlds.
But I think that what's so great about, you know, things like Star Trek and a lot of Gene's work is that, like, you're basically just creating templates for progress in terms mm-hmm. of, like, you know, in terms of science and things like that. But also, like you mentioned earlier, things like equality, like in the 60s, having mm-hmm. like a crew, like a very diverse in terms of, you know, like race, but also perspective. That was definitely something that was like revolutionary for the 60s. Mm-hmm. And it like normalized it. So now, you know, I mean, like, we're not all the way there. But as far as like diversity, equity and inclusion, this is definitely something that like is on the top of people's minds, you know. 70 years later, mm-hmm. I'm bad with math. I'm not a scientist. I'm a comedy writer. But, you know,
well, I've mixed up centuries and decades, so you're good, Joey.
Yeah. So since we're talking about growth in science, my question is, how far do y'all think we are from tribbles? Tribbles are very cute. Do we think that we're going to have tribbles pretty soon? Is that a decade from now? Is that 50 years from now? What do you think?
I mean, honestly, I think tribbles are out there, or something very similar to tribbles are out there. Like, we have this mentality here on Earth that we are the only sentient beings, and we are a speck on a speck in the vastness of the universe. So I absolutely believe that there is alien life, that there's sentient life out there, not even in the universe, like in our galaxy, you know, like just out in space. So I would argue that tribbles exist somewhere, or at least something that we would recognize as tribble-like.
Look, I just hope that, I know that like there's definitely intelligent life out there. I hope that we find some intelligent life that it is cute, cuddly, and fluffy as a tribble. I just want to pet something from space.
And it doesn't do the traditional like alien things we've heard about, probes and whatnot. I'm good without the probing. Like, I'm definitely okay without that part of the extraterrestrial experience.
Look, if it's cute and cuddly, I'm cool with a little probing. Just a little. Depends on how cute it
That's
is.
That's a very personal thing. Okay, so I want to draw us back to the quote one more time, because I just am looking at it and I noticed one more. It kind of goes back to what I was saying about advancing as a society, because he really separates the two things. It puts you back into growth, mm-hmm. comma, and you learn about science. So what do you think the thought process was with Gene for using science and technology as a background to discuss social issues and even science fiction, you know, with that suspension of disbelief, which we have also talked about before? You know, could this same story have been told like Golden Girls, or like, you know, on Earth in a community? I don't think so. I think had to have that suspension of disbelief, right?
You know, when you base a story around science or with scientists, you know, Picard was an archaeologist, Benjamin Sisko was an engineer, Captain Janeway was a scientist and mathematician. When you tell a story that's built around science, science is never, you know, finished. It's not determined. There's always something new. We're always learning new things. So just by the narrative itself being sci-fi or being science-based implies that there is more there. It allows room to grow. It allows an environment where, you know, we you know, when I remember when Voyager launched and Captain Janeway was the first female captain of a starship, like, that was a big deal. That was like in the 90s. That was when the world was still first learning about Hillary Clinton as our first lady and how ambitious and powerful and smart and intelligent she was. You know, and it kind of fit with that time. And I feel like, you know, when you're telling a science story, there's room for growth, and it allows, you know, the parameters of what we think are normal to be expanded upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that, I mean, this speaks to like the strength of Gene as like a, you know, a writer and a creator is like, yeah, like if this story took place in, you know, modern day 1960s, it would definitely have like been seen as like, you know, on some level unbelievable that, you know, there are people that are equal, you know, all working, you know, the same jobs and positions of power from different races and stuff like that. But if you put it in space, it's just sort of like, oh, I picture in space that's maybe a thing. It's like, you know, there's definitely a far off distant future where people are equal.
Well, and that's what makes the quote sort of like circular, is like it's about science in space, but it's about humanity and relationships and equality. But it's about science and space, you know, and it really draws the viewer back to acknowledging those relationships in the real world and not just as something on screen. You know what I mean? By the way, Joey, when you mentioned, you know, the tribbles and the space and going out there, I don't know if you guys remember this or have heard of this. You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson wrote this great article, I think it was last year, making the argument for if we do actually live in a simulation, you know, and his article was like, yeah, there's about a 50-50% chance we actually do live in a simulation. And, you know, it's going to take advanced AI technology to actually pin that down one day. But I just thought that was, it's such a crazy concept. Again, almost hard to wrap your mind around, but something like, you know, when we talk about going into space that you have to consider, I guess.
It's interesting because philosophers have been talking about that for centuries, about are we in a dream of a dream? Are, you know, will someone wake up and our entire reality go away? Like, that reminds me of that kind of thinking.
It's very, you know, Christopher Nolan in Inception, which is what makes that one of my like my top five movies.
Yeah, my answer to that is, I don't know, maybe. I don't know, we'll see. Like, look, nothing would surprise me at this
point. Can you write that into your new show, Joey? It is hard to be surprised, but it is also...
It's like anything is possible, you know?
Anything is possible. Is it, though?
Well, for sure it is when you're talking about, like the imagination, and we spoke earlier about Gene created this story about exploration with these characters, and it grew into this massive franchise that will outlive us all. Anything's possible. We've seen that anything's possible. Even the things that he wrote about that were fiction at the time have become reality.
Well, yeah. And you could definitely look at like the concept of are we currently living in a simulation? Maybe, maybe not. But like with AI, you know, leaps in AI and leaps in VR, like there's definitely a world where 100 years from now we could be living a simulation. And then it's sort of like by supositing that philosophical, you know, quandary into the universe, you've made it a reality.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Isn't that kind of like what The Matrix did? You know, it's set in the future, but they think they're in the present. And it's all, they're plugged into machines dreaming.
I know. It's crazy. That's where it gets really, you know, hard to open your mind to we say anything's possible, but if you really try to wrap your head around that, it's like black holes and time warps, you know, when you read Stephen Hawking's, you're like, oh yeah, that's possible. But then when you actually take the emotional side of your brain and separate it from the logical side, and you emotionally try to connect and think about those theories and facts, that they could be facts, it's crazy. It's mind-blowing.
Well, one thing I just want to tag on to, I know that we're not currently in the Matrix because none of us are wearing skin tight flattering leather jackets right now.
I don't have that cool Neo sweater that he has.
Yeah. It's just like, if I look in the mirror and I'm wearing sunglasses, yeah, we're just wearing t-shirts, like normal non-Matrix jerks.
Right, exactly.
Well, Joey, thank you so much for joining us today. We are very excited. We have you all week, so we have some great conversations coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you, Joey.
And if you would like to see any of the quotes that our Star Trek friends and fans have been reading, you can check them out on the Roddenberry social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.